Are you ready to listen to my dad, Joe, and Uncle Justin talk about sports?
Now on with the show!
The Joe Mays and J-Raff Show is brought to you by Mays Sandwich Shop, which have been serving the greater West Lawn area delicious food for over 70 years. You are listening to the Joe Mays and J-Raff Show. A weekly podcast about sports since 2011. With a focus on football. Now, here are your hosts, Joe Mays and Justin Rathoff.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome back to the Joe Mays and J-Raff Show. I am one of your hosts, Joe Mays, and here with me, as always, is my co-host, Justin Rathoff.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
And we are excited here for episode 401. Justin, last week we had a great show. Had a guest on the show. Two guests, actually. One by default, my cousin. You know, he wasn't the star. The star
riding
was
the coattails.
That's right. The star was my cousin's son, Jameson, who won our 2024 bracket challenge, and March Madness.
And has already been repping the t-shirt.
He already had the shirt on. Already looked good. Showing support for the Joe Mays and J-Raff Show. And we appreciate him coming on. And we are definitely going to have Todd and Jameson back on the show. You heard him say last week they are going to be heading to a Detroit Lions game, probably on Thanksgiving.
I was talking about that with someone just this week. I was just talking about how cool that idea is.
Yeah, what
I
a really great like that. Opportunity. That'll be other big Detroit Lions news, new uniforms for them. Looking pretty good, I have to say. I love the white and blue that they're going with, the changes to the helmets with the stripe. One set of pants has stripes. I wish they all did. The black is not the best. I'm not a huge fan. I actually don't hate the what they did with the helmet, though. And I think if they pair it with the proper pants, it'll be okay.
But was one of those combos like the silver pants?
No. Yes. So okay. There's blue pants, silver pants, and black pants, I believe.
I love the silver pants.
Silver pants.
Because, you know, like silver pants, Barry Sanders, man.
The Detroit Lions.
Yeah. Now, I am a fan of the white on white. Like, I know that's not, but like, so the white, especially with that.
You can't have white socks then, though. That's the thing. You need to have like blue socks.
Yeah, especially that blue. Yeah. I think it would look really good.
Blue, that's really cool. So,
because when we think Detroit in the fall/winter, we think Honolulu.
And we were talking about, you know, Jameson had his Jahmyr Gibbs black jersey on. He wanted to get the Anzalone jersey, you know, while missing grad, playing for his favorite team. How cool is that? Come out with new jerseys, time to get them. And I actually saw Alex Anzalone on Twitter interacting with some fans, talking about how people had tweeted at them, hey, they don't have youth sizes in your jersey. And I responded, and I tagged Coach Steve O'Neill too. I was like, hey, we got to get some youth Anzalone jersey. I know some why missing kids that want to wear them. So
yeah, I think there'd be an uptick of jersey sales in the 196 area codes.
You know? 196 or zip codes. 10090807111, whatever it is, or in and around the why missing in Berks County. Especially those new ones. I really do like their new blue and white jerseys going back closer to where they were with Barry Sanders. Not a quite huge.
Correct. Big, correct. It's just when I see that, that's immediately what I go through.
And they're going to be nice. They're going to look really nice. A lot of other jersey news coming up. I wish we could talk about all of it. The Broncos are unveiling a new jersey set tomorrow. I'm a little anxious for that because I like what they're wearing now. I know it's kind of dated, but that was a big thing when we were in high school.
That was a revolutionary change.
Yeah, that was a big change.
They were the first that I'm aware of. They were the first ones to go with that. Mm-hmm. That style. And that was really cool. And that style appeared in uniforms that were kind of close to home too.
You know? Like, so. Yeah. And well, one of them is hanging right here. the Wilson jersey that I wore, the home jersey, was basically a direct
right
tear from the Broncos, just using red and white instead of navy and orange. But we're not here just to talk. We're going to talk NFL because we're talking about the NFL draft. But we'll do that, Justin, after we review the Tortured Poet Department. I know you listened to the entire album, 31 songs.
Hey, I am. Yeah, you know me.
So actually, before I wanted to show you this before the show, I didn't get to because we were talking about organic chemistry, as one does before a sports podcast. But
that sounds like it's tongue in cheek. No, it's literal. We were talking organic chemistry
with Kelly. Yes, but we're going to be playing NCAA Football 14 Dynasty Year 5. And then we're going to talk NFL draft because the draft is coming up this Thursday. I have something I want to show you related to Taylor Swift, Tortured Poet Department, because I know you would find it funny because you're a Parks and Rec fan.
I'm a huge Parks and Rec.
I know. That's why I got to show it to you, because it's hilarious.
Which, but Parks and Rec, like, I didn't watch that till like maybe quarantine time.
Oh, you came to that later.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was late.
It is a great show. But all right. So I'm up first. Florida Atlantic Owls playing at Rice. We are ranked third. We have only lost one game. We're trying to go and make the national championship for a chance to win back to back. I'll go up and play offense, Justin, and you can get us rolling with NFL draft. Why don't we, obviously, let's start with the Eagles their needs and what your hopes and expectations are for them on Thursday.
Okay. So when I look at the Eagles, they have first round pick of 22. So kind of, you know, essentially two thirds of the way through. So like the biggest name guys will most likely be off of the table by the time you get there. When you look at need, cornerback is definitely one of the needs, defensive. So you have some needs that you could address there. They need to maybe replenish some things along the offensive line after losing some guys there. You lost Kelsey. Now you have his replacement there, but like, shifting guys over, you need, you know, you're moving guys around, and some of those young guys are going to need to step up that have been kind of filling in those roles or other roles over the last couple of years are now going to need to step up. But one of the things that has been a key to the Eagles' success the last 6-7 years or so has not just been having some good linemen, but depth along the offensive line. So getting depth there. And one of the things I like about that is because, man, and you know this, Joey, like, especially if you're not drafting in, like, the top 5 or 6, like, yeah, and getting, like, one of the top linemen off the board, offensive linemen are not they're not a sexy first-round pick, right?
No, like, they're not, unfortunately.
However,
despite them being very important.
Right, they're super important. And I have, right now, on with recent history, I have utmost like confidence that like that they're going to get the most out of if they pick an offensive lineman there, that they're going to get the most out of them. You know, like what they've been able to develop with guys there. And listen, I know that's not how it always works, but to think, you know, what do they say? Like basically, if you look at first round draft picks, it's essentially a 50-50 split over whether they will make it big or not. Right. But like to say that it's just random is not exactly true. You know what I mean? Like we know some of that. Like when you get a good quarterback that's going to a bad situation.
Well, just look at Bryce Young versus CJ Stroud last year.
CJ Stroud is a great quarterback. He was put in a much better situation than Bryce Young was. And I know people are like, well, Frank Reich, they gave, well, in many ways, he is nothing like Dan Snyder. But the ownership in,
it's volatile,
in Carolina is a guy who has more money than he knows what to do with. So he bought an NFL team, which is, that's fine.
That's like, the dream.
That's
right?
That's how it works. But like, when you look at some of his other business ventures that allowed him to have that kind of means to buy an NFL team, it's a very different mindset than what it takes to build in the past that it's taken to build championship football teams. Does that make sense? Like, yep. He made his big money basically capitalizing on the housing crisis. and hey, that's how the business works.
Haven't we all?
Right. But that's not necessarily a business acumen that translates to building successful NFL teams.
No. And we'll see. We'll see how it works out in year two. I mean, my dad says he's thinking about buying an NFL team too. So
hey,
we think you got a couple of GMs here ready to help you run that.
Absolutely.
So
I used to say in college, man, if I had the money, I'd buy the Steelers, not the Eagles, and I'd just make them terrible.
Yeah. So. The funny thing about the Eagles always is I feel like we know what they're not going to do more than what they are going to do.
So we're not taking a linebacker?
We're not taking a linebacker.
Well, how about this, though? Like, the other huge need is cornerback, and we haven't drafted a cornerback in the first round since. Do you know this?
What, so like Lito Shepard?
Yeah, how did you know that? I was going to say there's no way you actually know this. It was Lito Shepard in 2002.
You doubting me?
Doubting you on the draft was maybe one of the dumbest things I've done on this show ever.
So I'm trying to pick up some of my favorite big boards here and things like that to go over. So by and large, the top player available, it either comes down to Caleb Williams or Marvin Harrison. Those are, I feel like, the two that get the most play. Obviously, we know Caleb Williams is... I feel like they haven't come out and said it yet, and they haven't done any negotiating, but he's going to the Chicago Bears.
They didn't even meet with any of the other quarterbacks.
Right, so that kind of tells you everything right. You need to know about it. Excuse me.
You know what? Like, don't get me wrong. The trades, especially when, like, you're just kind of, like, sitting there waiting for your team to pick maybe at 22, when you see, like, the trade thing come up high up, like, it's exciting and stuff, but it kind of takes away a lot of that, you know? But, hey, that's fine. If they've got their guy... Go get him. Like, I know this may be blasphemy, but I'm not sure he's a guaranteed step up over Justin Fields. But hey, that's...
Well, but like, you and I have been on the same page about this
yes.
for a while now, not just as it relates to Caleb Williams, but what, 3 years ago now when it was Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
Everyone was talking about how he's a generational talent and he looks so amazing. He looked that way as a freshman, but how much better did he get?
Right.
Did he look pro ready?
And
now there were times like the beginning of his rookie year in 2021, we looked pretty good that he might be in over his head. You know, we weren't dogpiling on him or anything.
No, it's just,
but we just weren't sold. And then
it's just, you and I are firmly in the boat of, how do we have a quote-unquote generational talent every 3 years in the draft? That's right, not that's how not generational how talents work.
Right, that is not how that works. So we just weren't convinced.
So there's a different debate about, like, the GOAT every time somebody, like, no, like, they're incredibly good. That doesn't mean they're the greatest of all time. Like, that's not how it works.
That's not how that works. So... But then he looked better in, 2022? He had a better year, and we were like, oh, you know, maybe we were wrong. Maybe he's going to turn into, top. I mean, if you're considered generational talent, you should be a top five quarterback. At any point, has Trevor Lawrence been a top five quarterback?
No.
He's
and
3 years into his career now.
And you look at it as, like, I feel like he took a step back this year.
Right, and that, yeah, exactly. Now we're at the point where we're 3 years into his career, and he didn't look very good this past year, especially at the end.
Right, and coming off a step, they won a playoff game the year before. Like, and I know it took crazy circumstances to win the playoff game the year before, but, like, that's part of the deal. Like, you expect when you won a playoff game the year before to...
Kind of expect you to keep building, keep getting better.
Right.
So... And we say all this about Trevor Lawrence from 3 years ago now because Caleb Williams is about to come out. And I don't think people are as hyping him up as much as they were talking about Trevor Lawrence, but they definitely think he's the best quarterback in the draft. They've been saying that for at least 2 years now. I just don't know that I see it. And the other thing with him is I feel as though there are also off the field issues in terms of distractions and expectations. Now, maybe some of that will be cast aside and he'll sign the first contract and there won't be any issues coming from his family or whoever is in charge of marketing and contract structure, which as much as you can do with that anymore since it is slotted, you know. But there just was a lot of smoke out there coming from people in his camp that made me weary, you know, to think, what, how is this going to go? Is this going to be a distraction? Is this going to be an issue? He has some great, great metrics, some great stats at times. But again, it feels like he's been great against bad teams. But when he needed to step up, he wasn't able to do it. And I know people will say that defense was terrible, and I get it. But he also wasn't devoid of talent at USC, nor was he devoid of a great offensive coordinator and head coach for him. He had all the makings of that. And at times he looked brilliant, and at times he looked lost. So I don't know that he's that big of an upgrade over Justin Fields.
Right. Like, I just don't, like, yeah, I'm not sure. When you look at it, and again, I know this is a little different, but like when you look at someone like Andrew Luck, right? Andrew Luck was at Stanford, right? He literally didn't have teams that were like as talented as the other teams, and look how like he was doing.
Right, you know? He made everyone around him better.
You're at USC, like you are. Yeah, I don't know. And again, it doesn't mean he can't do it. It's just like I don't know that I'm not as convinced that it's as.
It's not as much of a slam dunk as I think people make it out to be. And you're going to
a team that of teams that would, let's eliminate teams that are just historically dumpster fires, right? Like, you know what I mean? But like outside of that, you're going to a team that maybe has the worst history in terms of developing quarterbacks.
Very bad history. Yep, very, very bad.
Than anyone.
Yep, it's not good.
Like, Jim McMahon is maybe the best quarterback that ever played for the Bears.
Right, and then who's next? Rex Grossman?
Yeah, because he made the Super Bowl.
Right, I mean, they had Jay Cutler, which they had to trade for, but...
Right, Jay Cutler should be the best quarterback they had, probably. Like, you know what I mean? But right. But again, he wasn't there the whole time. Like, I just...
Yeah, the franchise does not have a history of productivity at the position.
I know that they're in a different regime now.
Again. Multiple times over, but, and over and over again.
But you're in a spot where if they don't win this year or see development of Caleb Williams, they're firing the coach, right?
I guess it depends on if the defense is the more of the reason, which I don't think so, because I think they have a pretty good defense.
Right. But like,
no, you're right. But man, that's the thing, that these franchises make these decisions. It's like, you need to have some patience and stability. You can't just keep recycling.
Well, look at the top four teams drafting, right? Bears, Commanders, Patriots, Cardinals. Patriots have developed, let me rephrase that. The Patriots have had two good quarterbacks.
The Patriots lucked into Tom Brady.
I'll give them Bledsoe and Brady. And when you say develop, I'll count developing Bledsoe, because, you know, just because you're a good big name college quarterback doesn't mean you're going to be a good name. Like, that's literally the argument I'm making. So I'll give them Bledsoe. Right. And certainly, yeah. Bledsoe, and certainly with Bledsoe's Brady.
Bledsoe's a good quarterback.
And certainly with Brady. But look at, like, the other three, the Bears, horrific at developing quarterbacks. Commanders, not great. They've had some extremely talented. And now, I'm not talking about the Commanders from our preschool years. I'm talking Commanders over the last 30 years. Haven't done anything to develop quarterbacks. They had Robert Griffin?
Robert Griffin in 2012.
Right, and they ran him into the ground. And then they had, you know, so you skip over the Patriots, then you have the Cardinals, same thing. Their best quarterback, their two best quarterbacks were what, Carson Palmer and Kurt Warner?
Yeah, and that was added to some NFL Instagram, ESPN, you know, first overall draft pick, like, who is the better pick? And the stupidity of the people voting, I got to pull it up because I forget who he was going against, but they were picking Baker Mayfield over Carson Palmer.
That's just, people are stupid.
I'm like, is this for real?
That's the definition of recency bias right there. Yeah, like, right. Half those kids don't remember.
So many people voting that don't even know who Carson Palmer was, which is
right.
That man, that is a tough pill to swallow there. As we're playing a college football game, that I just remember Carson Palmer and Reggie Bush being, dude, ridiculous. And
man, you, I know they talk about like NIL's a different time. Can you imagine? And I know that we're not the first to bring this up, but can you imagine those early 2000s
USC teams? No.
Or the early 2000 Miami teams?
Oh,
like,
my God.
What? Oh, my gosh. Oh. You think people have a hard time with how NIL is working out now? Imagine if it was then.
Imagine that 01, the 2000 and 2001, 2002 Miami Hurricanes and NIL.
Oh, my gosh.
Holy crow. Yeah. Wow. That would have been something. So Caleb Williams is going one.
This is not going well over here. Sorry.
No, it's not going well.
Yeah. Caleb Williams going number one.
Then what happens with Washington? Do you have a thought or an opinion on what they will or should do?
I'll be shocked if they don't take a quarterback.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely taking a quarterback.
I think they should go Jaden Daniels.
I think they are going Jaden Daniels.
You do? Okay. And so, that doesn't surprise me. I think old Commanders, I think go Drake May. I think Josh Harris and company Commanders go Jaden Daniels.
So,
and I know the owners don't technically make the picks, but they kind of do.
This this could be,
and I think that's the pick you have to make, in my opinion. I know that there's some people who aren't as sold on that, but
so here, you want me to mix it up at number three?
Yeah,
I'm not convinced that the Patriots are taking a quarterback because I don't know that they like any of them enough, and I could be completely wrong, and they could just throw Drake May up there and it's over, and this will mean nothing. I think there is a chance that they could trade that pick, and I'm not even 100% sure that if they do trade that pick, that Drake May's the pick by whoever they trade up to get.
Right.
I think Drake May might fall a little.
So, to me, Drake May is... who's the quarterback New England just drafted?
Mac Jones?
Yeah, I think he's Mac Jones, man.
Well, I could also see like he's just the next version of Sam Howell, who the Commanders just got rid of.
Right. Like,
I know there's some people that
I know to talk about like recency bias, but tell me you're a Duke or North Carolina quarterback. You know what I mean? Like that, and you put up big numbers at Duke or North Carolina. Oh, and you've done it in the years that Clemson's been bad over the last couple decades.
Right. Well, and May didn't look as good this year. We saw this with Will Levis last year. Will Levis had a good year the preseason before, didn't have as good of a year,
right?
You know, the previous college year before he went to the NFL. And, you know, he ended up not being too bad, but he fell into the second round, right? Second round last year for the Titans.
Yeah.
And he actually, I didn't think he had a bad rookie year for them once he got the job. But I don't know. I know there's mocks that are saying 5-6 quarterbacks in the first round.
Yeah.
At one time, Drake May was being talked about as possibly a number one pick. Now, you know, he's maybe at the number two pick behind.
If I'm New England, if you're New England and you aren't taking a quarterback, that's interesting because I wonder, like, is there, like, who is willing to jump up into that spot? You know what I mean? Because it just becomes interesting because, man.
Oh, no.
Imagine.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? I wasn't paying attention to the clock. Oh, this is not going well at all.
Imagine if they...
Too busy talking.
Like, I feel like it's hard to trade out of that when you got Marvin Harrison Jr. sitting there.
Oh, that is really bad. I was not paying attention.
Sorry. We need a turnover.
Oh, man. We need to refocus. Yeah, that's really poor by me. So I'm not convinced Drake May's going in the top three. So we're dogging on most of the quarterbacks. I think that it would be egregious if a team takes J.J. McCarthy in the first round. I think it's one of the dumbest things going with the draft right now.
I hope the Cowboys take him.
Absolutely absurd that he's in consideration for a first rounder. What did he do at Michigan at any point? He won the championship.
Right.
There's been a lot of college quarterbacks that have won the championship. I don't understand the infatuation. And now people think he could go high as 3, 4, 5, 6, somewhere in that area with a trade. It's crazy to me. And we've seen crazy stuff happen with quarterbacks in the draft all the time. But J.J. McCarthy's ascent into a first round quarterback, then a top top 20, now a top 10, top 5. That is absurd to me.
Hey, the Eagles have 2 second-round picks. Maybe we quarterback factory, man.
Quarterback factory. So, honestly, of the group, Caleb Williams probably has the greatest upside.
Oh, absolutely.
The safest, honestly, it to me actually is Jaden Daniels, who we talked about probably going to the Commanders. I think those two picks, I feel like those are pretty well set. I think it'll be Williams to the Bears and Jaden Daniels to the Commanders. After that, I'm not sure. I think Drake May could drop, but does Jay McCarthy go ahead of him? Like, that would be absurd to me. And the entire time, like we said, is Marvin Harrison Jr. maybe the best player in the draft? And he could be sitting there at 4, 5, or 6 because of these teams grabbing these quarterbacks that don't deserve to be in the first round.
I only did the punt return because I didn't actually think they were going to return it.
No, that's fine. So I don't think do you think New England's going to take a quarterback? Are any of these quarterbacks worth it for them? Like, they already got burned with Mac Jones. They had to trade him away. You have a new head coach that's a defensive guy. I
don't know. If they get the right team like that's looking to go up, maybe the Giants will trade up to 3 and take J.J. McCarthy.
Go ahead. Hey, Uncle Rich, if you're watching, text me or leave a comment. Tell us what you want the Patriots to do, because – do you like any of these quarterbacks enough to take them? If you're missing on Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, I'm not taking someone at 3 because I don't think May, McCarthy, Nix, Penix, I don't think any of them are worth it.
To me, I think it's okay. Like, it's okay to take Marvin Harrison Jr. there. Like, that's okay. Because a year from now, you're probably still drafting your quarterback, and right. You've got a stud wide receiver then, you know, like, which they've been hurting for one for forever.
Yep. I mean, it happens every year with the quarterbacks. Honestly, I feel like if you're telling me I can get Drake May or J.J. McCarthy in the top 5 or possibly Bo Nix or Michael Penix in the late first, I'm taking Nix or Penix. I would much rather take a flyer on them a little bit later. What is going on? I hate this is why these games piss me off so much, Justin.
Because you know, like, there's times where there's nothing you can do. And you know.
Well, you know how they have the meters before the game starts?
Yes. Yeah.
The offensive meter was like fluctuating so much because it was so much higher than the Rice defense. Like, it couldn't stay on the page.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So what do you think the Eagles should do?
Yeah.
Roundabout way of getting back to the Eagles. So the Eagles, like you said, are 22nd. What do I think they should do? I mean, the way they fell apart last year felt really
awful.
Well, yeah, but I mean, sure. It was hard to watch because of the way they started. But I honestly felt mostly offensive related. Like, I know the defense didn't play great, but the offense felt like it had no identity or was just out of sync. But I don't know that there's too many places on offense that they need to go. You know, they already gave Devontae Smith an extension. They locked him up. They signed Saquon. I know there's some changes along the offensive line, but they were ready for that. They knew it was coming. Jalen Hurts is back and fine. Like, offensively, I think they're okay. So I definitely think it needs to be defensive. I think we need to look at you need to look at the places that we've talked about how they don't like the draft, and that's cornerback and linebacker.
Yeah. I want to see a cornerback. So they have 3 picks in the first 2 rounds, 2 in the second. I want to see a cornerback, an offensive lineman, and a linebacker in those 3 picks. That's what I want to see. There is almost no chance that that's how it plays out.
Right.
Because it's the Eagles. Like, first of all, I think they won't. The chances that they make those 3 picks in those 3 spots, not very high. Like, the defenders for the computer are literally just running the wrong way. Okay.
So, I think value-wise, Justin, you're probably going to get better value for your cornerbacks than your linebackers. Because I don't... the Eagles do like their pass rushers too. Everyone does. But I don't think they're going to go for someone. And I probably wouldn't be there in Dallas Turner. Maybe Jared Verse. But again, they just... I know they traded away Hassan Reddick and they signed Huff. I think
you're... literally read it right and they just...
Your best bet is... Value-wise, I'm thinking cornerback. I think there's a handful of them could be available at 21. Did you say 22?
22.
Oh, Miami's 21. The best is probably either Terrion Arnold from Alabama or Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo. And I think they're all like rated like mid first round picks. So if the Eagles go that way, Mitchell, Arnold, or maybe the guy from Clemson, or Nate Wiggins, and Alabama, the other guy who was supposed to be like a top 10 pick, Kool-Aid McKinstry, any of those four guys, I think, are options for the Eagles, and I think you'd be happy getting any of them.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be fine with any of that.
I got a lot of work to do here.
Yeah, I got a bad feeling about this one.
This could be our worst loss ever.
Yeah.
The worst loss ever. See, my problem is now I got to move down the field quickly, and that is not something I'm ever able to do. So,
we'll just put JJ McCarthy in there, quarterback.
Oh yeah, then we're guaranteed. If they don't go cornerback or linebacker, do you think they would go offensive line, defensive line?
Honestly,
what else?
Honestly, at that point, I'd rather them just go like best player on the board kind of thing. You know, okay. Assuming it's not a wide receiver. We have top two wide receivers.
Or quarterback, right?
Oh, yeah, yes. But, other than that, I'd rather them just go, best player on the board. You know what I mean?
Right.
If that happens to be one of those positions, if not. Because, if there's a guy who, I don't know, they capitalized last year on a guy that slipped down the board. If they're, this is, more than twice that, though. But, if they were able to get that. So a similar kind of value where a guy is just slipping and no one really knows why. And okay. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But because I feel like if you can get that kind of value there, you don't pass it up.
Right.
But there's also something to be said for looking at your team, evaluating it honestly and being
oh my gosh, throw the ball.
And being we need this is an area that where this guy can come in and help us this year.
Right.
And I don't know. So, whatever.
Whatever.
The draft selections of Howie scare me sometimes. The draft process of getting value for your picks and everything, and setting yourself up good for the draft, I think he's very good at.
Right.
There's sometimes, and they've done well. But there's sometimes
no.
I'm just God. I don't know. What the voices in the room were saying,
So that guy was wide open, and I get hit and toss the ball. Are you kidding me? This is so bad. This is embarrassing. Oh. All right, well, I'm not even really sure where to go for that because I was so confident that we were about to drive down and score and you were going to hold them and I was going to have one last chance. And, okay, so New England, let's see if my uncle, no, didn't say anything. My Dolphins can go so many different spots. I think, honestly.
I'm going to start taking our timeouts just because
we
need to.
The Dolphins pick right in front of the Eagles. Miami needs offensive linemen in the worst way. Armstead is back for a year, but he's always injured. They're not going to have a shot at staying at 21, at least for Joe Alt. Talisi Fuaga, Olufashanu, J.C. Latham. I expect all those tackles to be gone. They may be able to get Troy Fortune. Botanu from Washington, Amarius Mims from Georgia. They could, but they can use interior guys too, but they're not really first round worthy. Except maybe the center from Oregon.
Oh, he ran out of bounds.
Perfect. Powers Johnson. Wouldn't mind them seeing him go to Miami. They're also in need of defensive linemen. They left Christian Wilkins go, unfortunately. But one of the guys, I don't know if you knew much about him, Jerzon Newton from Illinois, Justin.
Of course, he hits like a 50-yard field goal.
Of course. He'd be an interesting one for Miami at 21, defensive tackle from Illinois. Yeah. Honestly, that's where I want Miami to go. I want
defensive line.
Offense or defensive line. Yeah. I prefer offense. Because
what number like they drafted?
Miami's right before Philadelphia, 21. So that's what I'm thinking there. I would be disappointed, honestly, if they went somewhere else with their pick. Let's see. Yeah, so the most recent draft tech mock has the defensive lineman from Texas, Byron Murphy, going to the Dolphins at
21. I feel like that's a good pick there, though. Like that,
they have him taking an offensive tackle with the Eagles.
Okay, like, and that's the thing. Like, if you have it rated out and you think that's a good one, and yeah, the first sentence, right? It's not the most exciting choice, right? But it's hard to imagine the Eagles passing on Tyler Guyton.
When you said if it's best available, you know,
right, exactly. And they say that if they feel that the Eagles can, did you just return the kickoff?
I just did a 100-yard kickoff.
The computer, return. The computer man, throwing us a bone there, right?
Well, they didn't throw us a bone any earlier.
No,
I mean not having the clock before halftime. That's on me, but a couple of those other things that happened,
right?
Very frustrating. So I guess I'm trying an onside kick.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if I have to play another down of the game, it's over.
Oops, I almost...
But yeah, that's kind of what I want to happen.
Okay, I've never done this before. No, blow him up. I'm not sure I've ever done that before.
So let's pick out a couple other teams. Well, actually, Draft Tech, place I used to work for many years. Caleb Williams 1, Jaden Daniels 2. They still have Drake May going 3. Marvin Harrison 4th, Adunze from Washington to the Chargers at 5, Neighbors to the Giants at 6, Joe Alt to Tennessee at 7, Latu the Edge from UCLA to Atlanta at 8, Fuaga the offensive tackle from Oregon State to Chicago at 9, and Fashanu the offensive tackle from Penn State to the Jets at 10. So they don't have the quarterbacks going like a lot of people are talking about. They have McCarthy going to Minnesota at 11. All right, a little bit easier to swallow, but not. They have Bo Nix going to Denver at 12. That would be interesting.
Like, do you feel like. Now, here's the thing with. Here's the thing. Like, this is the circle back to the Bears here. So, because it reminded me of. If I look at the Vikings, right, I'll explain my line of thinking here. If I think of the Vikings, how do I, like, I don't think that J.J. McCarthy or any of these quarterbacks are a step up over Kirk Cousins.
Right.
Right now, for right now. However, you're going to pay him $30 million less
right.
a year, you know, at least.
All right, so I need to return this kick and then get the onside kick and then...
And score. And then we make both extra points and we win by one.
So you're telling me there's a chance. Yeah,
exactly. However, like, so when I think of the Bears, if they think that Caleb Williams now can walk in where Justin Fields was this year, right?
Oh.
Which I don't know that that's what they think. You know what right. I mean? But like, if they think that's a fairly lateral move, then I can understand, if maybe not agree with, but I can understand why they'd be like, all right, well, we're going to reset our rookie contract clock here, you know, and help us build everywhere else that we need to. You know what I mean? I'm like, okay. I don't see that, though. Like, there's such a learning curve from the NFL to college.
Right.
At any position, let alone quarterback.
Right. Like,
and, again.
Oh, my. They're not even blocking.
Every big, like, opportunity, I don't know. Like, when Caleb Williams played good defenses, they held him in check. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
I don't know. Yeah, so we'll see. But I'm trying to think other draft-related stuff.
Do we expect any other Penn Staters to go in the first round besides Olu?
So yesterday, Mel Kiper said he has Chop Robinson as a first half of the second round, like slotted. He thinks he's going to go higher, though.
Jesus.
Like, does that make sense? Like, he has him rated as, like, in that, like, 32 to 40 range, yeah. Or 32 to 50 range. But he thinks he's going to go in the first round, like, the second half of the first round. Just by some of the measurements he put up and things like that. And based off the stuff. He's like, and he wasn't, like, trashing. He's just like, I think he's going to go higher than I have him slotted.
That is really
bad. Yeah, that was not a good one.
That was embarrassing.
But so like, I think there's a chance we see two. I'm cautious about that just because. Well, and he proved it this year. He should have been. Joey Porter Jr. should have gone in the first round.
He should. Well, he, yeah. I mean, he was like, the second pick, but yeah, it's, He definitely played into it. He's still, you know, handsy and aggressive, but he is a very good cornerback. He's going to be very good for Pittsburgh for years to come. He was
maybe the best cornerback on the Steelers this year.
Right.
Like, at least at times he was. Like, as a rookie. And so, yeah, So, anyway, I think we could get two. He also thought Olu was kind of sliding a little bit.
Yeah.
That he's still going to go, but that he's sliding a little bit. But hey, that's not bad, man. You get in a better position. Because look, you know, if he goes to the Cardinals, guess what? The Cardinals line is still going to be terrible next year. Right. You know, like, that's fine.
So we're going to stop there, Justin, just because it's already 7:15.
I honestly wasn't even looking. No, that's a good idea.
And now we can focus more on the draft. And now I'm really mad at the way that went because I wasn't paying attention, too busy talking.
So you're telling me I should have just turned it off accidentally during that game? Like, oh, I'm sorry, guys. I don't know. As it's clearly on video that I'm just holding the controller button at the top.
So that's really frustrating. That's our worst loss by far in the 5 seasons that we've been doing that. That was really frustrating, self-inflicted, but also a little computer juice for Rice there. But hey, that's what happens sometimes.
Hey, it's not video games if you don't want to rifle the controller through the screen sometimes.
Speaking of which, College Football 25, is that what it's being called?
Yeah.
We should be getting an actual trailer gameplay and stuff in the next month-ish or so, 3 weeks. I think they said May.
Yeah.
Anticipated release of Friday, July 19th.
Yeah, the day I leave for the beach.
The day I leave for Pittsburgh. Twisters comes out that day too. So a lot happening. It's gonna be a good summer. I'm looking forward to playing that game with you, Justin. Hey, we'll have to get together that.
I know they're not. It's not a sequel, right? Is that accurate? Twister 2? Is it?
Oh yeah. So they've kind of been shady about it. But I don't think they're calling it. So I think it's like it isn't at the same time. But I don't know that they're calling it a reboot either. I think it takes place maybe in the same timeline, but there's nothing really from the first one that they've let on yet, because
Helen Hunt is, as far as we know, not involved and not in it. And obviously Bill Paxton unfortunately passed away and will not be able to be in it. But they haven't come outright and said any of that either. Right. So I'm very excited for it. I think it looks good. You know, it looks like one of those sort of cheesy 90s disaster films.
No, that's the side.
I feel
of
like
one.
Twister did that the best of all those films from the 90s. I feel like it's the one that people gravitate to the most.
Yeah, I like that one.
At least the ones that are, I want to say,
and I told you, I saw Twister at the drive-in theater, which was so cool. Like, experience. It's just a great experience.
That's the best way to do it. So, so that comes out the same day. So that Friday is both college football 25, first college football video game in what would it be, 11 years? Because this came out
too
in
long.
2013, right? The one we're playing came out in 2013. And then Twisters, which is a sequel-ish to Twister, which came out in 1996. So, you know, Kelly and I reviewed the entire Twister movie minute by minute over the course of like 2.5 years. So I would like to get her back on the Solid F2 podcast to us talk about, you know, the lead up to the watch the trailer and talk about it so that when we see the sequel, we can come on and talk about, you know, did it hold up? Did it have any relations or any connections to the first one? But we actually had a pretty good following on that podcast. So it'd be fun to revisit. But back to the NFL draft, a couple other teams that we like to talk about. I mean, we don't like to talk about them because I hate the Ravens. And that was just for your mom. Baltimore. What do you think about Baltimore? Baltimore's always an interesting one.
Yeah.
Because they tend to draft really well, which I hate. But I don't really know much about them, what their expectations are and what they need.
Well, and it's hard when
so
you're drafting
some other draft
harder.
Sites to help us out.
Right. So when we look at like got for them down here.
So they're picking 30th and DraftTech has them taking Jordan Morgan, the offensive lineman from Arizona. So offensive line, I feel like that is a very Baltimore pick, offensive line. They tend to pick offensive linemen often, and they do well with it. Sometimes they pick them and create a great player and then trade them away.
Yeah.
And, so we'll see what happens there. They think that he could compete at tackle, but also fill in at guard since both John Simpson and Kevin Zeitler left. So the Ravens' offensive line is in flux. So that does make a lot of sense.
Yeah,
they
especially
would be
for them. They
offensive
need,
line.
Yeah. Oh, man. So go on, but I'm going to try and remember this point to come up after we talk about some of these other teams. So I think offensive line is a big one there. They could also use some – I mean, I know they got some production this year from like the pass
Patrick
rush,
Queen
but they do need some defensive help
line,
to fill in.
They need some linebacker and maybe defensive line. I mean, they did resign Matt Ibuki to a big contract, and he was a revelation this past year.
Yeah.
But Baltimore, I probably now that I see the needs here spelled out, offensive line is definitely one to watch for the Ravens. We touched a little bit on the Patriots. I feel like it is going to be a quarterback or Marvin Harrison. I don't think, or they could trade.
Yeah, if you get a good trade package for somebody that wants that third quarterback, like by all means, I understand because it does feel they're more than a piece away. But I don't know. It's hard, you know, and I'm sure this would be frustrating when they take a quarterback at 3 and then they're like, no, he was our guy all along. No, he wasn't. Like if Caleb Williams was there, he would have taken him. Or in my mind, if Jaden Daniels. See, if Jaden Daniels is there, I think they take him. You know what I mean? Like, I just – how about – and I know you've seen this. It wasn't like – it was big at the time, but I'm sure you've seen it too. How it's just like resurfacing about Arizona State, like when Jaden Daniels left and his teammates were like, Queen of Allers lockers. Somebody's like, he sucked anyway. Like – now – and somebody said – he's like, look, I'm not saying he did suck. They're like, but Jaden Daniels, like what he showed at LSU was not what he showed at Arizona State. And somebody said – Which is a testament to like he isn't a guy who just went on his talent. Like he continued to work and he in a situation where they continued to help him develop, look at what he turned into. And they're like, if he finds himself in the right spot here, you know, then maybe he's at a good place.
So the other one, Justin, well, we talked about Miami, Philadelphia, New England, Baltimore.
What do you think the Bills do, man? They've let everybody go. Sorry, not to like cut you off. Like
I was about to say, who cares? I don't care about the Bills. Screw the Bills. Get out of here, Bills.
But Cowboys.
That well, yeah. I was going to say Dallas is probably the next one to talk about. And honestly, I think they're in the same situation that the Dolphins and Eagles. We've seen it happen too. Kinda. But Baltimore, I think they need offensive linemen.
Yeah, yeah. They lost a couple.
They lost Tyron Smith, right?
Yep.
Yeah, come on. Okay. So I'm trying to sign into my Athletic subscription here.
We were just talking
because I want to pull up their mocks and their rankings and things like that. And so, see if this works.
Yeah.
So yeah, the Cowboys I think are going to be looking offensive line as well, but that's right in the same mix, you know, between Miami, Philadelphia, and down to Baltimore.
Maybe they'll take JJ McCarthy. Can you imagine? And they come out and they're like, "We're going to let Dak walk."
That would be no. That's not happening.
No, I know it's not happening.
Oh man.
That would be something. And this is hard because like I don't hide it. I do not like them. But I feel like Dak is more of the solution than the problem down there, in my opinion.
Right.
But like maybe I'm not right on that. But like I look at what keeps them from achieving the success that every team is trying for, I don't see Dak as any of the top three reasons why they're not getting there. Does that make sense?
Right. Like, no, I'm right there with you. So the Cowboys have 7 picks in the draft. They're picking a 24 overall in the first round.
Also, and this is just those things floating around that like that Dallas is, and again, they're just rumors, but that like Dallas is like, Micah's wearing thin on some of the like the Cowboys brass. I'm like, good.
So offensive line for Dallas definitely need running back, which should be an easy fill. Like that's not one you should be sweating about at all. They should be fine to get someone.
Yeah.
But again, just like the Dolphins, defensive line as well. So offense, defensive line. Surprise, surprise. You need good offense and defensive linemen to succeed in the NFL. So that's what the Cowboys are at. So we covered. The teams that we generally look at, let's take a look. Let's go pick by pick in this latest mock draft here, Justin. So,
Okay, so
Caleb Williams goes number one, and this is from The Athletic. This is Austin Mock posted on Friday, April 19th. Caleb Williams, number one of the Chicago Bears. He does have Drake May going to the Commanders, which that surprises me. I really think it's going to be Jaden Daniels. You saw that they had 4 draft eligible quarterbacks all come together at one time, which I guess is not something that happens that often. So interesting to see what not Daniel Snyder is doing and what Josh Harris is doing with the Commanders. But this mock has Drake May still at 2, which has the Patriots, though, then not taking Jaden Daniels and going Marvin Harrison. That's 2 surprises for me in a row.
Listen, I would be full on popcorn emoji like at this point, like because oh man, this is getting exciting.
Now again, not because Marvin Harrison is a bad pick.
No.
Clearly not a bad
pick. No, but now you're also like, oh, someone's gonna come get Jaden.
Right, and in this case, they have it being the New York Giants. Yeah. There are trades in this mock. New York Giants trade up with the Cardinals to get Jaden Daniels. The guy who made this says he's not a Daniel Jones believer. Honestly, anyone outside of the Giants front office doesn't seem to be a Daniel Jones believer.
Honestly, anymore. I don't think anyone in the front office is a believer anymore.
So could we see something like this happen? I don't know. The Jets also move up and take Malik Nabers. The Cardinals, with their pick, they take Odunze from Washington. Titans go with Joe Ault, offensive lineman from Notre Dame. Vikings move up again with Atlanta to take McCarthy.
That's what I want to have to happen. I want the Vikings to have to move up to get J.J.
McCarthy.
They have 4 quarterbacks in the top 8?
Is that what we're at now? 4 in the top 8. So yeah. Let's see if any more sneak into the first round. Bears go Dallas Turner, the rusher from Alabama.
Chargers traded down to get Bowers, the tight end from Georgia. Falcons stick there and go with Jared Verse, the rusher from Florida State. Broncos don't go quarterback. They go the edge rusher from UCLA at Latu. Vegas Raiders go Arnold. There's your, one of your cornerbacks, yeah, possibly the Eagles. Fashanu goes to New Orleans, which I've seen a few times now. That's a possibility for the Penn State offensive tackle. The Colts take my favorite cornerback, Quinion Mitchell, the Toledo guy. Seahawks go with another one of my favorite guys, the Washington offensive lineman, who I'd love to see in Miami. Jaguars take J.C. Latham. Bengals go Byron Murphy. Rams go Brian Thomas Jr. Steelers go Amarius Mims. They double down on Georgia offensive tackles back-to-back drafts.
Hey.
Dolphins go Fuaga, the offensive tackle from Oregon State. Eagles go Newton. That's the guy I was talking about.
And a D-tackle. Like, that would...
And Falcons, Nate Wiggins. Cowboys, Graham Barton, the center from Duke. So it's all the things we talked about. Cooper DeJean is a Green Bay Packer, isn't he? That's a, that would be a perfect pick for the Green Bay Packers.
Yes, he is a Green Bay Packer. As a defensive
back. For the, he just, that Iowa DB's just screams Packers to me. Oh, he, the Chop Robinson goes to the Bucks at 26.
I don't like Sneaks that. I mean, I like that for him, but I don't like that he's going to the Bucks.
Bills go, you talked about what are the Bills going to do. They went the offensive lineman that actually makes was knocked to the Eagles in one of the other ones we talked about. The Lions get Jackson Powers Johnson, the center that I really like from Oregon. Ravens go Jordan Morgan, so offensive line for them. McKinstry ends up with the 49ers and Adam A. Mitchell to the Chiefs. So no Knicks, no Penix in the first round in this mock. So four quarterbacks in the first eight, but then none the rest of the way. Seem to be very heavy on offensive linemen. And, yeah, offensive linemen really dominate.
When the game is about passing, there's a lot outside, but you then need to keep your quarterback upright for a few seconds, and you need also need to get to the quarterback. So you see some of that edge, and then you see a lot of offensive line stuff on there.
So there's nine from pick 14 through 32, there's nine offensive linemen picked, and then there's like four or five defensive linemen. So it's all about the trenches. Keeping your quarterback upright or rushing that quarterback. So, yeah, so that was the latest first-round mock draft from The Athletic. I think it's Austin Mock, which is a perfect name for someone making a mock draft.
It's
Austin
meant to
Mock
be.
Draft. So draft season is here. Thursday is the night. And did I ever actually ask you if you're are we doing that Thursday night? That was my plan. I didn't know if you were available. So,
I should be. It may be a rush for me to get here first just because Austin has lacrosse till 7:30-ish. So,
well, the first pick's usually like 8:15.
And we know we'll the first pick's going
to
be.
Right, so, I'll see. I'll talk to if my dad wants to. He was over last year for a bit, and Natalie joined us, actually. And so that'll be fun. I can get things rolling here if you want to come over and join in, and we can watch, you know, the first half or whatever. Okay. If you want to stick it out.
I probably won't stay for the whole thing.
No, last year I got over like midnight at that. So
it's crazy.
But yeah, first round of the draft this Thursday, believe it or not. And then we should get in a few weeks the 2024 NFL weekly schedule. We know the opponents, we just know when they're playing. So that should be coming out in the next 14, 21 days.
Yeah.
And soon enough, Justin, we'll be doing our NFL previews, believe it or not. Well, we'll have the draft show on Thursday, then we won't have a show that Sunday. So we'll have a show on Sunday, the 5th of May. And that could possibly be an NFL an NFL preview. That could be like our West divisions already. Believe it or not, it comes quickly. So we'll have a bunch of more college games to play because we just can't get these games in and done in a timely fashion, and we were embarrassed ourselves tonight, so we'll need to rebound the next time we do play the game and hopefully have two dominant victories and see where that gets us. But, I think that is it then. Tune into the draft on Thursday, 8 o'clock. I'll start the stream. We'll have a good time. We'll try to make it to the Eagles-Dolphins pick. They're back-to-back as long as there are no trades. And that's early 20s.
Yep.
At least I'm going to watch the entire first round, but we might cut out unless we can make it through Dallas at 24. We'll see how things are moving. If they keep things moving along and it's not terribly late, but I'd like to make it to
the Eagles. I know when the Dolphins. Eagles are drafting later, I'll stay up and then they end up drafting back.
They'll drop into the 30s in the second round. Yeah. So we'll see. But we'll get things started Thursday night. Have fun watching the first round of the draft here on episode 402 of the Joe Mazin JRAF show. But other than that, Justin, anything else to say for episode 401?
No, I don't believe so.
All right. Well, sorry to all our millions of fans that were cheering us on and Coach Joey Rapoff to let you down. And second loss this year, not going to have a chance to defend our national title. I would highly doubt it with losing to Rice. Oh, man, that's embarrassing.
Yeah, not ideal.
Tough one to swallow. But all right. I think that's it. So for Justin Rapoff, I'm Joe Mays. Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Joe Mays and JRAF show. We'll see you Thursday, April 25th. 8 p.m. for a special first round live NFL Draft 2024. Good night, everybody.
That's a wrap on this episode of the Joe Mays and JRAF show, brought to you by Mays Sandwich Shop. Woo-hoo! You can watch each weekly episode live on Facebook, Periscope, or YouTube. Be sure to like, follow, or subscribe to the show on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play. You can also rate and review us on many of these platforms as well. We'd love to hear from you. Send your email to the Mays Sandwich Shop inbox at joemaysandjraff@gmail.com. The Joe Mays and JRAF Show is a part of the JMNJR Radio Network, home to other productions such as The Bulldog Hour, Tangents with Friends, and Nat Chats with Dad. Until next time.